Generate is supporting my vision to improve the financial literacy of 100,000 Kiwis by sponsoring Keep the Change. Cheers, Generate. Head to generatekiwisaver.co.nz/change to find out more. Getting in the KiwiSaver fund that suits you and your situation is key to making sure you're maximising your investment. Generate are an award-winning KiwiSaver provider with a track record of long-term performance, and they can help you do exactly this. Their advisors can meet with you to talk about all your options when it comes to KiwiSaver to help you decide what's best for you. Too many people never get KiwiSaver advice, but not you. Go to generatekiwisaver.co.nz/change to book a no-obligation chat with a Generate advisor. A copy of the product disclosure statement is available at generatekiwisaver.co.nz. The issuer of the scheme is Generate Investment Management Limited. And of course, past performance does not guarantee future returns. And if you believe in me, don't think my life's gone for me. I won't take nothing less than a deeper love. Let me tell you, I know. Welcome back. You are listening to another episode of keepthechange.co.nz's Money Mail. Maybe you do need a miracle. Maybe I do. Maybe we all do. Maybe the country does. Maybe National do. Trying to balance this budget that's coming out soon. For some context, I was telling you last Money Mail how if the tax take comes down, it's going to make it very tricky for the government to balance the books. I've just been going through and doing a little bit more tax planning for clients over my quiet weekend and coming across more and more businesses that don't need to pay the level of tax that they have previously, which is a tax is normally at this time of year an indicator of how the prior financial or current, because we're still in March at the time of recording this, current financial year is going. So, you know, as you pay tax, if you're an employee, as you go, businesses sort of do in waves of three throughout the year. Now, this is in May, their final payment, and it's usually, if you manage their tax well, a bit of a wash-up of the tax payable based on how well they've done for the financial year. Now, a number of them aren't having to pay the same levels of tax that they have previously, which is then an indicator that profit is less than the year before, and the indicators before that are then how the economy's going and how their business is performing from a profitability standpoint. So, for all of the chat around, you know, the greedy corporates create inflation and stuff like that, as a number of these greedy corporates, if that's what you want to call them, aren't as profitable as they were, well, then we should see some serious declines in inflation soon, or should be seeing them pretty quickly slash with throughout the last 12 months, because if that's true, if that's how inflation is created in some people's minds, then the profits just aren't going to be there. So then the tax take is going to be down as well, and that's going to make it harder for the government to explain how they will pay for their thing. So I would say get ready for a very, very interesting time where a new government has to try and explain to the people what they're going to do when they don't have the money that they would like to have in order to be able to do some of the things that I'd imagine they would like to do. So anyway, that's some real high-level accounting and economics type shit for you. You might be a little bit bored about that. So I want to use this Money Mail to give you a warning. Now, I wrote this Saturday night, 8:30 p.m.-ish, off the back of recording a video about it, and I don't feel like I nailed the video. When I have about 16 goes at a video, I know that it shouldn't be a video. It should probably be written, and I need to get all the thoughts out of my head. And then it needs to be a podcast as well because I've got some more time to articulate it. I try to keep videos on Instagram around 90 seconds max so that people don't tune out. Even shorter than that's even better. But I couldn't even get it within the 90 once I got going as well, and I even trimmed out a little bit at the front and the back. But you might have seen that on there where I'm just giving you a bit of a warning about taking on dumb debt, most specifically dumb debt in an economy like this. And I want to explain to you why. So this is a warning before taking on more dumb, silly, stupid debt, whatever you want to call it. But all debt, realistically, And this is a conversation I've been having with business owners for some time, but it's equally as important for individuals. So in our accounting practice, Next Advisory, we help aspirational business owners and ones that are, you know, really having a crack out there in the economy. So they need good, solid advice, and some of them are looking to take on debt to then be able to speed up their journey. Normally in business, good debt is debt that you take on and you can generate a higher return than that. But as the interest rate gets higher, you've got to be even better at business so that you can generate a higher return than that. So then less risk gets taken, or there's less margin between the profit they then make with using that debt and then paying back some of those interest payments. So having a low cost of capital is a big advantage for a business if they can generate a higher return than that. So basically, say they've got to pay 9% for the interest, which they would on a vehicle, 18% for an overdraft. Like, that's a credit card for an individual, but for a business, if you want an overdraft, you're looking at about 18% for some businesses. If you want to borrow from a third-tier lender, you might be looking at 30% in interest. It's pretty gnarly in the interest space for businesses. So they need to be able to try and go out to the market, take that, let's say it's 9% debt, and know that they're going to incur a 9% interest charge. They've got to then be able to go and make enough money to be able to cover that on the other side. And this is where I think business owners get that stuff and they start to think about it. I'm going to be honest, like, not all of them do or think about that too, but individuals, I think we get sold debt as more of a, well, it's only $200 a month, you know, don't worry about it. So in this, I want to teach you something that I try and teach business owners to think about as well, and that is actually trying to repay the debt. So instead of thinking about, okay, I'm borrowing this over 4 years, that sort of thing, and it's going to cost me X amount per month, what this is actually about is trying to figure out how the hell you would repay it if you were to repay it, you know, over 1 year, say. And we will get into that as an example. But as the economy starts to bite, it's tempting to turn to debt when we get behind or something goes wrong. I want to strongly warn you against this, and soon I will explain why. But before we do, a reminder that this is why for a long time I've done podcasts that every 6 months I try and remind you of these three things. Get rid of a credit card, even if you owe nothing on it. Yes, you might have never paid interest in all the stuff and you get all the airpoints, cool. But if you don't really need it, maybe now is not the time to have that. Put it aside till the economy turns again and don't renew it. But a lot of us Kiwis, I think we like to have that just in case. You know, we've got the credit card just in case. Well, why don't you become so powerful in yourself that you don't need a just in case? You know that you've got other levers that you can pull. So what that is about is getting rid of things that could tempt you into making the wrong decision should some things not go your way. And of course, get rid of the buy now, fucking pay later, the get now, worry about it later schemes. You don't need that shit. Number three, make $500 to help you cover any unexpected costs. So you want to build an emergency fund and you want to go out and sell some stuff so that you can build it up faster rather than starting from scratch. If you haven't got an emergency fund going into a time like this, you probably have been ignoring some of the teachings. These are some of the basics. So make sure you've got the basics in place. I have to. We all have to. It's very, very wise and smart to have these things set up. Why? Because shit happens, right? And it's never been easier to access credit. To be fair, that is changing a little bit. It's going to get harder because the people who are lending want to have a tight look at your situation and the way you do things to figure out, do we really want to, you know, lend money to this person? So maybe it's not going to be the easy time as it has been previously to be able to get some debt, but it's still out there if you want it. And that's the dangerous, dangerous thing with debt, is that when shit hits the fan, you can find it if you want to. Most people think that the danger of debt is the interest rate. That's partly true, especially when we see a blue bank jacking credit cards to 20.95%. They've got to pay for those airpoints rewards somehow, don't they? But this isn't the only issue with bad, ugly, gross, silly, stupid debt. One of the issues is trying to pay it back. Most people look at the repayment and that's it. Well, let me blow your mind for a second. If you borrow $10,000 for a car, you need to make over $15,000 to pay the debt back. Say what? Well, there's a high chance that you're going to lose one-third of that $15,000 to tax. and we pay debt back with after-tax income. So I want you to think about this differently. At the moment, you probably think about what you get paid in the hand each week, fortnight, month, that sort of thing, and you don't really think about the tax rates and how much tax you are paying. But we're going to think about this differently, okay? So even if you've got a $2,000 credit card that you lean on, that's going to take most people a $3,000 pay rise to pay it off. So it's not a $2,000 credit card. It's a $3,000 credit card, but we only get given $2,000. You see, tax rates haven't moved with inflation. They were last set in 2010. As incomes have risen a lot due to inflation, more and more people have ended up earning income over $48,000. Every dollar of income between $48,000 and $70,000 is taxed at 30%. That's effectively a third. Income between $70,000 and $180,000 is taxed at 33%. That's definitely a third. Some people way smarter than me did some calculations last year. So these are now outdated because they were done early 2023 and we've had another year of inflation. And what they did is they figured out when the 30% tax bracket should kick in. Currently it kicks in at the $48,000 mark, for as soon as you make a dollar over that. They worked it out based on if the tax rates have been indexed back to inflation. Now, this means that instead of the 30% tax rate kicking in at $48,000, it should kick in at $72,891. That's pretty crazy, right? So you would pay 30% tax on income above $72,891 through to $106,298. So basically, you would only be paying 30% tax, not 17.5%, once you get into the $73,000 through to $106,000 income tax bracket, and then earn over $106,000, you'd be at 33%. Now, this will be higher again, because like I said, we've still had another year of inflation since these calculations were done. So this is if tax rates were indexed back to inflation, back to 2021. So let's just look at it with the data that they provided, right? And let's ignore all of the should they, shouldn't they for a second and just understand this. A lot of your income under $48,000 is spent covering everyday living and life costs. So as you know, the tax rates are progressive and as you earn more, you move into higher tax bands, not for all of the income, for increments of the income as you go. So as soon as you make, say, $50,000, it doesn't mean all of your income is going to get taxed at 30%. Just the $2,000 above the 48% would be at that 30% rate. But a lot of income now is soaked up by those lower tax rate bands, right? Now, once you start earning over $48,000, you're getting taxed at 30% in the dollar on that income, above $48,000 through to $70,000. And all of this is allegedly supposed to change on the 1st of July. But this is making it very hard and tough to have money left over. That money left over, actually, just I saw something. I think the median rent, for instance, in New Zealand at the moment is just over $600. So if we said $600 times by 52, you got $31,200. If you were living on your own, trying to pay for your rent. Now, if I just go and work out what is a $48,000 salary, let's say we contribute at KiwiSaver as well, we're going to have in the hand $38,405. So if we rented a place, the median place in New Zealand, and we were making $48,000 a year, we'd spend $31,200 of it on rent, but we only have $38,400 after tax. So basically for the rest of the year, we've got our housing sorted, but we've only got $7,205 to spend after paying ACC and KiwiSaver. Can someone live off of $7,000? No. Fuck, you could write the money mails, couldn't you? Gee whiz. So what I'm trying to say here is that a lot of that $48,000 is soaked up by everyday costs. And yep, you know, you might not be an individual renting a place, that's just not even possible. So then, well, based on these numbers, right? So what do people do? They live with other people and things like that, or they might share it between themselves and a partner. But you can, I'm sure you can agree that the first $48,000 of your income is probably soaked up by some of your living costs that you would like to do, like food, shelter, water, travel to and from work, internet, phone, going to the gym, subscriptions, RedTube. Sorry, threw that in. Didn't even know that cost. Just bad shit. Well, sorry, not bad shit, but you know, things that you're doing, right? You're going to chew that $48,000 up. So then as soon as you earn over that, you're going to get taxed at 30%. Now, this is where it gets a bit gnarly, right? Because a lot of people say as they earn more, fuck, it doesn't feel like there's that much left over, so what's the point? But there is always a point, because at least you're still left with the 70%. Right? So don't think that, yeah, there's no point earning more, but I can see how people come to that conclusion, but you normally still are better off. But the point is, it's starting to make it very, very tough to have money left over. And the money left over might be needed for things like paying down debt, saving for an event, paying off a credit card, saving for a house, reducing the student loan. No wonder it's hard out there. Not only are interest rates rising, which are tripping people up and increasing debt amounts, but trying to clear the debt is hard. So what we are talking about here is actually trying to pay the debt off. This is why I encourage you not only to look at what the debt repayment amount is, but what you'll need to earn to pay it back with the after-tax free cash flow. So what that means is you pay your debt back with after-tax money. And you've got to pay your interest with after-tax money too if you're not in business. So a business can borrow money. They can claim the interest cost as an expense because they are using that to generate income. So there's a relationship there and they can generally claim that as a deduction. But for an individual, if you borrow money for a car, you need to pay not only the debt back, but you've got to pay the interest back, and you've got to pay that back after you pay your tax, then after you pay all your other stuff. So clearing debt is going to get very tricky as interest rates are higher and as tax rates are high too. With 480,000 Kiwis getting behind on their payments, I can guess not everyone does this exercise. This figure will increase as it gets harder to clear this debt. Interest rates are high, cost of living is high, tax rates are high. Don't make it even harder for yourself by taking out dumb debt to buy shit you don't need. So now, I'm going to give you a scenario so that we can walk through this and hopefully you can understand it even more. You earn $50,000, right? And all of your income is allocated. That means you have nothing left and you live paycheck to paycheck. Now you run into a $2,000 emergency. You've got two options. Option A is sell some shit that you don't need or use around the house. Or option B is borrow the $2,000. Now, Luke has been this person and he would choose option B. Yes, of course he would. Fuck that. I'm not getting rid of the kayak. You know, the kayak I never use, the three pairs of shoes in the wardrobe, a couple of suit jackets, the shirts. Why should I? Life's not fair. You worked hard for that stuff. Totally. I get it. I've been there. So instead, what we do is we grab the $2,000 credit card from the bank. We max it out. And let's say in this example, we're going to be generous and let it be 0% interest for now. So basically, you're now 2K in debt, and at some stage you realize this, life isn't fair. You worked hard, and you still have to pay it back because the bank don't give two fucks what you think is fair or how things should work. Oh, sorry, just on that, did you want it sugar-coated? Or maybe grab a couple of fucking Nurofen, eh? To clear this card, you have to get some extra work, ask for a pay rise, or start a side hustle. Maybe those are your options. You now need to make $3,000 to then pay your tax and be left with the net amount to clear the credit card. So your $2,000 problem, the original problem that ran us into this issue, this emergency, it's just become a $3,000 problem because that's the income we have to make to then lose effectively a third to tax to then have the net amount to pay the bank back that $2,000. This is, of course, if you pay your taxes. So if you haven't already, remove any access to debt that will tempt you to use it, because it's getting harder to pay it back. Build that emergency fund ahead of the emergency. I hope that all of you have been listening long enough and you've put aside some extra funds so that when that emergency does come, you don't need to default to old Luke, which is borrow the 2K, mate. You could probably finance it over there. There's some 0%. You know the crafty ways. You know how to get your hands on some cash. But that's not what you're borrowing. Times it by 1.3, that's what you're borrowing because that's what you're going to have to pay back. Now, we don't think about this stuff because when we get to debt, we look at what's my weekly repayment, what's my minimum repayment, what's my monthly repayment, How long is it going to take me to pay it off? Yeah, I can manage that. That's all good. And that's how we don't think about the true cost of paying back debt. And that's how it gets hidden from us, or we simply choose to ignore it. So I want you to think a little bit differently. If you're going to borrow money in this environment where the cost of living's high, interest rates are high, and tax rates are high, it's hard to save. It's hard to pay back debt because it's hard to have after-tax free cash flow money to spend on things. Now, I have to talk to business owners about this all the time because it comes from a bit of a different angle. What they like to do is they like to start going pretty well in business and then they go out and they buy an asset. Now, if they haven't put their tax money aside, they start spending their tax money on that asset. But eventually, they have to pay their tax and they go, well, hang on, I don't have that money. Yes, because you didn't put it aside. So now they have brought the asset and spent some of their tax money on that, and they've then got to figure out, shit, I'm behind the eight ball. I've got to go out there and try and play catch up, make even more money, put the tax aside on that more money, and then put the tax aside, the original tax aside that I should have already had aside, but I then spent on an asset. So it's very important that they understand this stuff, otherwise they can get behind very quickly. Same thing with us as individuals. It's very easy to get debt, but we don't often get taught little things like this around how hard is it actually going to be to pay that back. So if we borrow $100,000, say, against our property so that we can put it into our business or do some big project, to actually pay that back, you're probably going to need to make another $150,000. So if you think, right, I'm going to borrow $100,000 against my property, put it into my business, you would have to go over to your business, but this is the same for any individual, but this is just a good example. Go over to your business, and then you have to make 150 grand. You'd pay your 50 grand in tax, and then you'd have the 100 grand left again to then pay down the debt. So can you see how hard that now becomes? Now, I don't want to get into any of this, poor us, the boomers didn't have it like this, previous generations didn't, it was easier to make money back then with lower tax rates and you could clear debt faster and things like that. Maybe there's a case for that. I don't really know all the different avenues to go down that, but it is what it is. This is what we're faced with. So what I'm trying to arm you with is just some things that when you see the shit, 60 months interest free, I can get a lazy boy like Luke did for 2.5 grand. It's not 2.5 grand. It's a lot more than that. And you think that you're going to pay it off with a small amount and you go, okay, well, 2.5 grand, that's pretty sweet. I'm going to pay that off over 12 months and it's $208. Yeah, that's pretty cool. But to get the $208, you probably had to make $300 to then pay the tax, to then be left with the $208 to make that monthly payment, whatever it ends up being. So just think about this stuff from a different angle because debt is getting more expensive and we're not even factoring in interest at this rate too. So of course, as you are slow to pay back debt, the interest is increasing. You've got to pay that back in your personal space with after-tax money as well. I hope that got you thinking. I don't see anybody talking about this. It's tricky for me to articulate. Like I said, I had 16 goes with a whiteboard and a few notes, and I couldn't nail it, and I thought, I need to sit down and try and articulate it with an example and things like that better. So yes, National are going to index the tax rates back with inflation and look at it, apparently. Haven't seen it confirmed yet, but it's not going to go back to what it was back to 2010 since the last time they were. So it's not like it's going to solve everything. But if you're wondering, why does it feel hard to save money? Why does it feel tough to clear some of this debt? And why does it feel tough to clear my student loan? Like student loans we've looked at before, that's even trickier because they've got to pay 12% of their gross income out of their net income. So not only do they have to pay the tax and then that's taken out of their account, they then get 12% of the difference between, I think, let's just say it's roughly 20 grand and their salary. So let's say they make $80,000 a year. They've then got to pay 12% of $60,000 in a year, which is $7,200. That's got to come out of their after-tax income to pay that back. So they're getting smacked up. They're getting smashed. That's a really good example. So students or people with student loans, I feel your pain. That's why. That's why it feels like that. And you're going to have to go through the grind. It is going to be tricky. Unfortunately, as we've been talking about recently, one of the answers is to make more money. And just whilst we're there, all this stuff about the banking inquiries and stuff, I think maybe a year and a half ago, maybe even longer, Mikey's like, here it comes. There'll be a banking inquiry. I wrote about this ages ago too. I'm like, well, the summary is going to be Kiwis love buying properties. They love debt. They don't like changing things. So as an example, one in two of you have your KiwiSaver with a bank. And you're like, fucking hell, they make a lot of money. Well, you kind of make it easy for them. Multiple banks, multiple bank accounts, insurance with them, whatever product they want to sell you. You're like, yeah, sweet, I'll grab that. Don't use a mortgage advisor to have a look at what other rates there are. And you leave money in non-interest-bearing bank accounts, for instance. And we're like, man, how do the banks make so much money? Because they know that we're fucking stupid, right? Excuse my language. But we're not really. We're just lazy. We're like, I can't be bothered doing that. But it's just, they're just playing to our human psyche of, we trust them. They've got all the power. They're trustworthy. Not sure if I want to use a different kernel, for instance. For instance, they might have a cash fund or whatnot, and all these different fintechs are popping up with these different financial tools, and you know, well, I'm not sure, you know, I'd rather just stay with the bank. And then we're like, oh, let's do a big inquiry into how they make so much money. Bloody hell, should have been like a 20-minute inquiry. But we have to change, you know, we've got to do something different. However, going back to what I was going to say, one of the best ways to make sure the banks don't make as much money is to pay off your debt faster. But what's it really hard to do at the moment? Pay off debt faster. Does it make sense? So we're absolutely up against it. And only we individually in the mirror can look at this and go, yeah, fuck, okay, that makes sense. What am I going to do? And sorry, but the answer is make more money. That's a great podcast for you. One of the best ways to shaft the banks, go out there, make more money, take the after-tax amount and pay down your mortgage faster. Because what's that going to do? It's going to decrease the time that you owe them money. It's going to decrease the total interest. If you decrease the total interest, it's going to decrease the margin that they make. And you're not going to be as profitable of a customer for that bank. So if you're really pissed off about it, two things. You can move some of the financial products that you use, or two, you can take the challenge, earn more money, pay down your mortgage faster, and become a client or a customer that they don't really want because you are outsmarting the banks and not being the profitable customer you could be. I'm getting out of here. I hope you have an amazing Easter. Shout out to all the Christian people. If that's your thing, I don't judge anybody. Good on you. Celebrate this weekend. Be good out there, the rest of you. Don't do anything silly. And we'll see you in the next episode of Money Mail.